With me in the studio for my edition of Farmer Friday, I've got Kevin Krall from right here in Albia. Kevin, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the first time we chatted, it was during the wintertime. Didn't talk a whole lot, but we've got some plants in the ground. We've got some activity going on. Let's talk about that at the Krall Farm.
Yeah, well, we took us a long time to get in our corn. We didn't do it at that April slot. It was just too wet. We were afraid. We have bottoms that we plant corn in, and we were afraid that we probably could have planted it, but it would have sat in the ground, and then it rained so much that we were afraid of doing it too early. So we waited, and then, of course, May was really wet. So, but we got in there. John Krall helps us out. He got in there with his crew, does a good job, and we got that done the 29th of May, which is important because we beat the federal crop deadline by June 1st. So we were happy about that. I just looked at it the other day. It's popping through the ground and looks good. So you'll see two sets of corn out there. You'll see corn that's chin high going, getting up there, and then you'll see corn just like ours, just starting out. So May was a wet month, but turns out we'll probably want as much rain as we get because it's turning dry.
That's true. You know, going back to that early April window, you kind of hold your breath if you go ahead and plant it. It was indeed nice situations for some people, but if your soil is not proper, if it's got too much clay going on, then you're going to have that wet soil that doesn't do good, and then when it dries out, it just gets harder than a rock. So you got to be real careful about when you plant with what texture you have.
Yeah, and you know, we only have 60 acres, so it's a situation where you know, guys have to get their crop in, and they have a lot of acres, so we weren't in a hurry. And as it turned out, I think that was good for us because, like you said, it sits in the ground a long time in April, and then everybody gets nervous. And I've seen some crop around that looks really good, though, so that's good for our local farmers. And we're hoping that this May 29th edition of our corn will be fine.
Well, you know good and well, they say knee-high by the 4th of July, but that might be an old hat. But still, corn that's in the ground by the end of May should be in ship shape by the time that happens. And like you said, Kevin, we do need a shot of rain to keep that action going all the time.
Yeah, Tuesday night in the state of Iowa, it was kind of wild. We had a lot of rain up north, and we didn't get much rain at the house Tuesday night, so... Yeah, it looks like the forecast here, we're going to dry up here a little bit, and I just hope that the water doesn't shut off here. We need to keep going here with some about, you know, half an inch to an inch a week. Just spread that out and see what happens.
Looking at the hay crop, I'm sure there's some activity going on out your way. The holiday crop is what they call hay, and we've got the Memorial Day behind us. Talk about that situation.
Yeah, we put up some grass hay around the house, and we haven't cut it yet. That should happen here, hopefully within the week or so. We get a neighbor to help us with that. So you'll see a lot of hay being put up or have been put up here recently because of the weather that we've had. And at that first round should be excellent for our local farmers. I know we fertilized our lawn. Man, we were mowing about twice a week for about 5 or 6 weeks. It was really, it needed it, but nonetheless, perfect growing conditions for hay here in May, and the first cutting will be awesome. Hopefully the farmers get it up and get it up before it rains and get it in the barn.
That's the other side of the coin. When you talk about that hay condition, if it gets rained on, that condition really makes it drop down. So getting it cut and then put up and baled without any moisture is a great thing. But sometimes you got to hit the window when the window is open.
Well, and you know, not everybody has a baler. So the concept is everybody wants it done the same time. And a guy can only do so much with the equipment that he has. So yeah, it's important to find that window and had to dry up too before you would go in and cut it. So it's important to find that window if you can, you know, to get it up dry. But Mother Nature sometimes plays tricks on us, and you never know about hay. But I see a few folks that cut it for haylage. When I went out toward Eddyville, I think I don't know, Catherine Bay, maybe that farm cuts haylage, and you know, that's where you cut it, and you can put that up the same day, I think. So that's a good way to do it, too.
Yeah, over on 137 there, the Bay Ranch was hot and heavy with that triticale. They were cutting it up and putting it under the silage bunkers. You want to talk a little bit about cow-calf operation?
Well, we don't have any, but, you know, I know guys that that have the cow-calves, and it's amazing how they have those different windows depending on when they want to calf. You know, you got the, I call it the spring calving season. Some guys start in January. I don't consider January spring, but nonetheless, that works for them. And then a lot of guys do the fall calving, so... I remember those days when we would calf. We would only calf like, it seemed like we'd start around 1st of March and try to be done mid-April or so. And those were the days. Let me tell you, that was, whoever has a cow-calf operation, a big one, that's a lot of work. I mean, to make sure that your cows are having their calves safely and you either deal with cold weather or you deal with mud and flies, and it's just crazy. The work that goes into raising a calf population.
But just like a young kid, it's kind of fun to watch them romping around out in the pasture there, chasing each other. They tend to play with, you know, their buddies, so that's kind of cool, too, when you're driving down the road.
Yeah, they look good from the window, that's for sure. They're having fun, and again, yeah, I think most of the farmers I talked to had good luck with the calving this spring, so that's good.
We've talked a little bit about this before, but maybe you can catch us up a little bit more on your relationship with Indian Hills Community College. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm a trustee member. They asked if I would be interested in running Nellie Coltrane. I did many terms, and she didn't want to run this past fall. So Indian Hills has been a good friend of Abbey Community School District and a good friend of the town. So I was honored with they felt like I would be a good trustee member. We started that in December, so we've had many meetings now under my belt, and it's a good organization. I went through two graduations, one in Centerville and one in Ottumwa, and the Centerville probably had, I want to say, 80 graduates, and the Ottumwa had 400 or so, and it's nice to see a lot of Albia kids that went across the stage, a lot of Eddyville kids, a lot of local kids that went across the stage, and that's exciting. We had, I think, the Albia Community School District, I think they had, I want to say, 5 or 6 high school kids that went across the stage and got their AA at the same time, so that's exciting. I might be a little high, but it was at least 3, if not 4 or 5, so it was exciting to see those kids on their post-secondary journey, being head of the game, going across and getting their diploma when they're getting their high school diploma.
The beautiful thing about those local community colleges, high school kids can save a lot of money as opposed to going to a 4-year school, and yet they can get an excellent education and jump into the job market right away or transfer on to that 4-year school. So hats off to Indian Hills for providing such a great opportunity for those local kids.
They got a lot of programs that you can be involved and go straight through 12, 18 months. And when you're done, you have a skill set that is employable and you can earn a pretty good living after the 12 or 18 months program. I know down in Centerville they have the ag stuff down there, and they do a good job. So, yeah, it's exciting. The Indian Hills helping out our local economy by getting kids that are employable and having a special skill set that makes them employable.
As a retiree recently, you've utilized your work from college that you did at the Hy-Vee Deli. Now in town, you're being involved with a local business. Talk about that real quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're retired, you kind of have a lot of time on your hands. Sometimes you have too much time on your hands. So I knew Snack Shack. I saw on Facebook that they were needing some help. And, you know, I know Roy and Selena through my high school days. They're good people, and they run an excellent business there, and I know the people that work there. So I decided to, you know, went in, talked to them, and said, yeah, I'll help you out. You know, I'm in there most mornings for a couple hours just prepping food. Again, you talked about when I was in college, I worked at the Hy-Vee Deli in Coralville for I want to say two and a half years, and that was kind of a good training for what I'm doing now. But you know, I make meat and cheese trays. I stock things. I make sure the eating area is clean. Just things to keep the ball rolling. And I think it's a win-win. I think they appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, as far as doing something that's I've always been part of a team, Pat. And that's a good team down at Snack Shack, and enjoy my time down there.
I've been talking with Kevin Krall here on my edition of Farmer Friday, and you can go back and listen to this podcast all over again. Go to www.kiicradio.com and select that audio vault that's at the top banner, and then on the right side, you'll be able to see this podcast for Farmer Friday and listen to it all over again if you'd like. Kevin, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.